Welcome to JAGZAM. I'm Kainani Stevens. The 2024 draft is now behind us. We've got some new players headed to Jacksonville and a whole lot to talk about. We do have some breaking news off the top here, though, as a list of unsigned free agents, as well as some cuts to the team. Wide receiver Zay Jones is being cut, as well as kicker Joey Sly. So, Brian, that news coming out. Brian Thomas Jr. was their first draft pick, so that means they made a cut to the wide receiver room as well.
Well, that makes sense, because you're going to need to keep Devin Duvernay from Baltimore as a receiver, because that's the position that he plays as well, and it's just a numbers game. The Jaguars will save about $5 million against the cap in 2024. Not that they needed to, John. They've got lots of room.
Well, I don't love it. I mean, I like Zay, and I like what he brought. I think it would have been good to have that option, but in the cap era, when you're trying to save money, roll out the future, it's not a sign of our times, because we've been in this time forever, but it is a function of the salary cap. Yeah. Let's not forget, before he leaves, big contributor to that 22 team, Zay Jones. It sort of shows you how tough it is to stay in this league at the age that he's at. Flourishing member of this team, 22. Flourishing member in 23, couple of injuries. It's a tough league.
Well, he left with some memories too, right? The two-point conversion against Baltimore in 2022 that gave them that win that started the winning streak. And he had a big one in Tennessee a couple of weeks later where he just tight-roped that was caught by the pylon cam. He leaves a lot of great memories in the fans' minds if they think about what Zay Jones meant to that team.
Good win, healthy, tough year last year. So a roster casualty as of this point. We're going to bring in our guest now, though, Trevor Sikkema from Pro Football Focus, of course, their lead draft analyst. Trevor, thanks for joining us. We got some news there. We do want to talk about our first-round draft pick, Brian Thomas Jr., of course, and what that addition to the offense is going to mean for Trevor.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When I saw this pick, I was like, hey, this is a really good pick. And then I looked up, oh, I think they're going to be more vertical on offense. And actually, the Jags were pretty dang vertical last year in their offense. When you look at, you know, big-time throws, total yards, total attempts, passing grade on throws that were 20 or more yards down the field, they were top 10 in all of those categories. And so Brian Thomas Jr. and the addition of Gabe Davis in free agency, that just puts their foot on the gas even more for that being an identity of their offense. Trevor Lawrence, he's had a couple of 4,000-yard seasons, but I genuinely think that with their offense now, the skill set that they have at wide receiver and that mentality that we saw from 2022, this could be a potential 5,000-yard passing season for Trevor Lawrence if he is fully healthy, because we already know that's what they want to do. Now they just have the pieces to do that even better. So like the draft pick, especially now that I went and looked back and said this is exactly where they were going, it's the type of player that allows them to do that even more and more successfully.
Trevor, has offensive line taken a step back in terms of value for wide receivers? Because it was a great offensive line draft, and the Jaguars went receiver, which it didn't seem like they needed to fill as significantly as I thought offensive line. Or is Brian Thomas just that special that he couldn't pass on it?
No, I think that it's a little bit of a combination of both, right? Trent Baalke, their general manager, I think throughout his general manager career, whether it's been in Jacksonville or his time in San Francisco, like, he's going to gravitate towards athletes. I mean, the Mason Smith pick in the second round is just more evidence to that. But when you look at Brian Thomas Jr., the size, man, 6'3", 210 pounds, 4'3", 3 speed. I mean, that's just pretty rare for that size and speed combination. So you gravitate towards that. But I do think that we are in an age where picking wide receiver, even over something is what we would have thought as pivotal as offensive tackle or offensive line in general, it is more common because we are seeing such superstars come out from the receiver position. And I think that grows to all the way down to the grassroots level, right? You're seeing more 7-on-7 camps. You know, these guys are getting involved in skill position work way earlier in junior high and high school, and you're just developing more wide receivers nowadays. So there's just a ton of these great skill position players that are coming through year after year. So it's a little bit of, okay, Brian Thomas and his unique athletic ability at his size couldn't really pass that up. But also, it is just the fact that wide receiver more often, like you said, is getting valued as a premium position, like pass protectors, like pass rushers. So we're seeing that more and more, and obviously this draft was a good staple for it.
And the Jaguars obviously focused on special teams a lot late because of the new kickoff rules. Did you see that as a major trend around the NFL? And it seems to me like the league is really going to be at a point this year of trying to figure out what these new rules mean. They sort of think they know, and they're going to experiment with it, but it might be a year or so before they really figure out how best to take advantage of them.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch this year. And by fun, I mean some teams are maybe going to be a little disastrous, and other teams are absolutely going to hit a home run. And every team is trying to take that third phase of the game and make it into a plus for them, right? Something that's going to be very important. We've heard over the years past that, oh, field position matters so much, and yet it's such an important part of the game. It's why kickers and punters and kick returners have been drafted decently highly over the last couple of years, at least every now and then, but this is totally different. Now you have an opportunity to pick a totally different type of kick returner that could really be advantageous to the game. I mean, you guys know, everybody out there watches the games over the last couple of years, every single kickoff, they're just blasting it through the back of the end zone. I mean, that's how every drive is going to start, right at the 25-yard line. Now, it's a little different. You have an opportunity to really make a difference and flip the field a little bit more in your favor with guys who can see the field a little bit more, right? Kick returners used to just be, all right, let's put our fastest guy back there, have him receive the ball and run as fast as he can, and hopefully our blocking team will be able to get guys blocked up. Maybe we can get a rushing lane and hit something up the sideline. But now, with the contact window being much closer together, kick return is much more about seeing the field. Like, it's almost about running back vision at this point. You know, what are you in space? So you're going to look at a lot of these numbers, these one cut backs, these shifty wide receivers, these guys that make players miss in open space. That's actually going to be prioritized, in my opinion, more than just straight line speed. You want to be able to hit the home run, but shoot, if you can get an extra 10, five, even 5 yards on a kickoff return because you just see the field very well, you see the blocking very well, that is incredibly advantageous at a consistent level. So it's going to be very interesting to see how these teams kind of navigate those new kickoff rules.
Trevor, when we look at this class as a whole for the Jaguars, Trent Baalke definitely went for some size, some physicality. That's something he talked about at the end of last season. They weren't big enough. They weren't strong enough. You see a lot of 6'6 guys. You see a lot of 300-plus pounders, maybe not developed yet, but he definitely went for that. Let's get these big people in here and try to train them up. Is that advantageous by the numbers, or is this kind of a boom or bust with some of these guys?
Well, I think it's boom or bust anytime you're talking about a draft pick, right? I think sometimes that's a little unfair when you talk about general managers or making selections. You just go, oh, this guy's a boom or bust. There's no such thing as a guarantee at the NFL level when you're talking about college kids going to the pros. So everything's got a little bit of a risk to it. But certainly when you look at this draft for the Jaguars, at least for the first couple of picks, you know, Brian Thomas Jr., very good vertical threat. And I mentioned that unique size and speed combination there from him. But, you know, can he develop into a full overall well-rounded wide receiver? I think that is a question. Now, he's a younger guy, so you expect that he's going to get better, but really good off of a vertical plane. But can he develop more nuance in his route running? Can he diversify his route tree more than just those vertical routes and things off of a vertical stem? That's what you're looking to see. So there's a little bit of risk there. If he's just a vertical wide receiver, yeah, okay, it was picked a little bit high, but even for just that, I mean, like I said, the size speed combination is incredible. Mason Smith, total projection, right? I mean, 5-star, number one overall recruit at one point. Is able to play as a true freshman at LSU, gets injured, tears his ACL just a couple of plays into 2022. And then this past year in 2023, you could just tell there was a combination of he had not played a lot of football and he still trusted in that knee. Now, he was able to play and be fully healthy, which is good, but he's definitely a projection there. Jerrion Jones, I like from him because over the last couple of years, he sort of struggled as an outside receiver, but then Florida State moved him into the slot and he was excellent. Elite coverage grade in our metric system. He was a top-tier slot receiver that we had in this class, and I also like the addition to Jordan Jefferson and Javon Foster as well. Those guys, I think, have a lot of experience to them, good depth players, and so that's sort of how I saw those first couple of picks for the Jags.
Trevor Sikkema, Pro Football Focus lead draft analyst, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right, stay with us here on Jags AM. Coming back, we're going to go over some superlatives for the 2024 NFL draft class after the break. Move the freight, move the freight. Magellan Transportation voted the coolest office space in Jacksonville. You can apply online at magellanlogistics.com.
Hey, Jerrion. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, coach.
Hey, congratulations. We're just going to bring you right down the road.
Let's do it, coach. What a guy. Let's play ball, man.
Let's go. Let's go. Hey, congratulations, man. Here's our GM, Trent Baalke, okay? Congratulations, hold on.
Jerrion, how you doing, man? Are you there? heck of a party going on. Jay, are you there?
Yes, I hear you.
Hey, remember what we talked about in my office?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations, man.
Man, let's play ball, coach. You get a dog, man.
Never get sick of hearing those calls. That's third round pick Jarian Jenkins out of Florida State. Kind of left Trent Baalke on red there as well. He didn't got a little excited at the party, but we love those calls. We love, you know, dreams coming true for all of these draft picks, and it's exciting to get some new players in here, you guys.
Yeah, and he's an intriguing guy. I talked to the Florida State secondary coach yesterday. Played at a very high level outside. They moved him inside last year because they felt like his experience and his awareness inside, which you have to have to play the nickel, really took him to a different level. It's what they need. I mean, he has the skill to eventually move outside. It certainly sounds to me like he will be the guy to beat in terms of the nickel. It's a tough thing to move inside as a rookie in the NFL and play the nickel. But, you know, everything you hear about the kid, great kid, overcame a lot of adversity early, which leads you to believe that he can overcome what he needs to overcome to get into the lineup. Great second-day draft story.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time with him when he was at the local pro day because he didn't work out. He stood on his combine and his Florida State pro day. And I talked to Doug yesterday about him. He said he's an immediate contributor on special teams. I mean, steps right in, and is a guy who can be one of your better special teams coverage guys right out of the gate.
Let's talk about some of our guys. We're going to do some superlatives like we're in high school once again. We'll go over this 2024 draft class. We'll start out with the first round pick because why not? Brian Thomas Jr., most likely to succeed because you're the first round pick, right. So you better succeed. But as we mentioned, I mean, this is a great threat for Trevor. And I think it's nice to mention as well, I mean, a young player that can grow is Trevor, right? Like they brought in some veteran receivers when they, you know, when Doug came in and kind of overhauled everything for Trevor to work with, but now it's someone that you have locked up for the next couple years to grow with Trevor.
Really long arms and big hands. I mean, you see that when you see him reaching for it, which allows him to go up and get that 50-50 ball. Clearly, Johnny also has great body control because you see him in the corner of the end zone or down the sideline with a guy in coverage and still making the catch, which will be great on third downs, right? To be able to keep this team on the field.
Something
to be
we
able
didn't
to,
have.
To
yeah.
throw to a guy and know that he can elevate and go get it.
Yeah, he has every tool. The thing that you hear about him needs to develop route running. Trevor talked about it. Yeah. That's big in the NFL. I mean, it's hard in the NFL to just be great based on physical tools, which he has. So his task to reach, you know, the thing said about him was outside the top three, he had the skill set to be a one. The development part will be the key for him. Bare minimum this year, he comes in and strains the defense and gives them, you know, that magic four. The thing that I like, you've got Christian, you've got Gabe Davis, who you hear is a great kid, and Evan Engram. He doesn't have to be the guy. I think a lot of Jaguars first round receivers in the past have failed because they had to be the guy day one.
Gives him a little leeway to learn as he comes in. We're going to talk about Mason Smith next. I actually got to talk to Ethan Waugh during this process when we were doing draft picks, and he told me a little bit about, I'm going to project here and call him the best comeback story, because if they hit, which is what they're hoping for. He's dealt with an ACL tear, and then last year he said he didn't really feel that comfortable, but Ethan Waugh in the front office is hoping that when they get him in the building, they can work with him.
Yeah, I think as you watch the tape from this past season, early in the season, he was still kind of recovering from that knee injury. But each week, the tape got better and better. And it also helps that we have his defensive coordinator from college, Matt House, here in the staff room as well, that can really speak to his ability and his character.
John, that Matt House connection, the new inside linebackers coach, was the defensive coordinator at LSU last year, and he got a couple of his guys in the building for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure that helps when you're investing in a player to be able to turn to a guy and say, what kind of kid is this? You know, beyond everything they're telling me, you got somebody in the building, they can tell you, yeah, I'm not BSing you. This kid's XYZ. You know, Brian said it all weekend. This kid has every trait. You're taking a guy later in the second round who has a first round pick potential if everything goes right. Is it boom or bust? I guess, but I completely agree with what Trevor said. I've never seen a draft pick in the NFL who's not boom or bust.
Right.
So
it's crystal ball business.
You take traits. He certainly looks like he can be that tall, long, dominant defensive tackle that when those guys hit, they have the potential to be core defensive players and impact in a lot of ways.
So the first thought that I had when they drafted him was that the Titans took Jeffrey Simmons out of Mississippi State a few years back, and he had torn his ACL, and they knew he wasn't going to be ready until his second year, and that has paid off in spades for them. This guy has the same physical profile as Jeffrey Simmons, as Chris Jones, in terms of height and length and strength. If the Jaguars can get some sort of super production from this kid, if he can reach his potential, what a great pick this could be. Because when you watch the Titans play, Jeffrey Simmons is the best player on their defense. Sometimes he's the best player on the field. So you're going for that lightning in a bottle with a guy like this and hoping it pays off big time.
6'5 and 300 plus pounds. I mean, obviously he'll also get to work
with. It moves like that.
Exactly. And you're going to get to work with, you know, an Eric Armstead who's long and tall as well. So hopefully can pick up some pointers on that line there and develop as things go along. Let's go a little later in the rounds. Let's go to Cam Little. I think this is our most confident player. John, you were hearing some of that Zoom he had. He thinks he's the number one guy in the class. And when he spoke to me, he said he's excited to get into camp and compete.
Yeah, look, why not? I mean, if you have a choice between a kid who comes in and really thinks highly of himself and really doesn't at kicker, you may as well think you're good and then not worry about what happens if you show it. So, you know, it's the old cliche, kickers, you sort of put them in the corner and whatever they want to do, it's okay because they're a weird bunch.
Until you need them. To kick a game-winning field goal that takes you to the next round of the playoffs, like Riley Patterson. I mean, you couldn't have been in the stadium that day against the Chargers a year ago and not have thought, I wonder what's going through his head right now.
Sure.
So you want this kid to come in and be willing to swing his leg and give it his all. He's got the leg strength to kick from 60, right? Whether he's accurate from there or not in the National Football League remains to be seen. But I think the interesting part is they really like, and both Doug and Trent told me this yesterday, they really like his ability to control the ball and drop it into that zone. Because if it goes into the end zone, that's a penalty. Not a foul, but it costs you yards. So you want to put the ball in a position where your team can get underneath it in this new kickoff, and they think he's got that kind of control.
And look, since Doug got here, they've sort of been looking to solidify that kicker, to get their 6-7 year guy, whatever that is. So they took a draft pick in what otherwise was not considered a great 6th and 7th round draft. So you take that year and you go after a kicker and you see if you solve it.
Well, they sent Heath Farwell out to work out all three of the kickers. And this is the guy he came back raving about. And he was the second kicker taken in that round. So they got the guy that they wanted without having to move up to get him.
You're that confident at 20 years old, the youngest kicker to be drafted. So that's a good sign.
I can't even remember 20, much less if I was confident or not.
So long ago, John. So long ago. Let's go back to some of the big linemen. Jordan Jefferson, I'm going to give him most competitive because he's got a little bit of an attitude. I think we've all seen this video of him at the Shrine Bowl tossing a helmet around.
Football's not a nice game.
But sometimes,
it's not for nice
men. That's what we need sometimes, right? Because how many times did we say maybe a little attitude wouldn't hurt once in a while for this team, and if you can have that on the line, maybe. You know, him and Cam can, I think Brent from Action News was saying that they should have a helmet tossing competition since they're both so adept at that.
Yeah, we've seen it through the years around here with some guys. It's gotten them cut. You hope he doesn't do that here, but you do like the attitude. And look, you're in the trenches all day. You got to keep that attitude alive.
Yeah, and he's a straight nose tackle now. I mean, like, so you've brought in a guy who is sort of your athletic guy next to him, his nose tackle. You're starting to see a little bit about what Ryan Nielsen wants from his defense. 4th round, right?
Yeah.
So you can get big. That's where you're supposed to get your big run stuffer. If he's that.
He was the strongest guy at the, at the combine in that.
And again, it all goes back to, we talked all weekend about traits, and I'm more and more considering the draft as such speculation. If you draft guys with traits and they work out, they have a chance to be high end. Yeah. A lot of your guys don't work out anyway, so you may as well have the traits.
All right, we're going to close things out with Mr. Congeniality, Jarian Jones, my personal favorite personality. He's going to be a team favorite for sure, I can just tell. And he's also a huge Jags fan growing up. He talked about that when we got him on the media call.
So when I growing up, you know, I was a big Maurice Jones-Drew guy. Like, I was a big Maurice Jones-Drew guy. Like, I was a super fan of him. You know, and I watched just about, I think, every game that he played, you know. And when Jalen went there from Florida State, like, I was tuned in to every game. Him playing inside, outside, just the way he brought, like, what he brought to the game. And, you know, I kind of fell in love with the Jaguars while Jalen was there, and especially while Maurice Jones-Drew was there, you know. So just now me being able to continue that Florida State pipeline and come in and make plays and do what I do best, you know, it's a blessing, man.
You know what the number one thing he has in common with Maurice Jones-Drew is?
What's that?
He's a big fan of Maurice Jones-Drew.
Aren't we all?
I love Maurice.
He resembles that, yep.
Yeah, that's the kind of kid that gravitates to Maurice Jones-Drew.
In the third round, you're hoping to get a guy that can come in and play, but you're also hoping to get a guy that loves football, because it's going to take a lot of work to get him ready to go, and it looks like he's willing to put that in.
We heard him on that call earlier, emotional, obviously excited to be picked, but he also said, I'm ready to go. I'm a dog. Yeah. Let's go.
Well, and what's neat about that quote is you really heard what's in it for a lot of guys draft weekend. All of a sudden he gets drafted and he realized he's going to get to continue living his dream for X number of years. And so many guys on draft weekend, you know, it's ending at that point. So clearly he savors it. You know, he's sitting there telling Doug, I love football. Well, that, holy heck, I get to go play it some more.
Sure.
Pretty cool.
Absolutely. Stay with us here. We're going to do some Ozone mailbag questions for you after the break here on Jags AM. Jags fans, you can gear up at Fanatics.com with all the latest Jags styles. Shop now. Get today's special offer. Fanatics.com, officially licensed everything.
This broadcast is Ozone friendly.
Ozone. Welcome in. We've got Ozone Mailbag presented by Fanatics. And there's so many questions, John, and sometimes only you have the answers.
Sometimes only I get the questions.
Oh, fair enough. You try to give us the answers, and we do appreciate that. So our first question today comes from Bradford from Orange Park. And
it was, does Lawrence's fifth-year option, which he and Travis Etienne got on Monday, does that preclude them from signing long-term contracts? And
sure.
I kind of get the question. If you don't go into real detail in a story, you sometimes say, well, okay, well, they got the fifth-year option. Well, that means there's no the answer is no. You give the fifth-year option to basically secure the player. The team has the right. They can sign Trevor Lawrence or Travis Etienne to long-term deals whenever they so choose. I expect, I've been saying for a few weeks, I expect the Trevor deal at some point this offseason to be done. Travis is in a different situation because he's a running back. It's a little more of a, at this point in the contract, fourth year, year to year, and then sort of see what kind of a shorter-term deal at the end of that contract, what the numbers look like. Unfortunately, it's a different terrain for running back than quarterback.
Just a thought, Trevor's fifth-year number is $25 million, and that's a big number. And a lot of times in the first year of a new deal, they want to get that number lower so they have more cap flexibility. So you probably like to see him get a new deal done so that you can manage the first year of that number.
That is something we see with quarterbacks a little closer to training camp, Ray, a little later in the summer. Things usually seem to come through before training camp.
Yeah, the Mahomes,
off.
Burrow, like a lot of them have been July. Mm-hmm. So we say closer, much, much closer.
Like,
so we'll
literally
see.
The week before, yep. Our second question is a little bit about draft dogs, right? These guys all look great off the bus, but I don't see any dogs. I hope I'm wrong. Do you see any dogs, John?
Yeah, I was.
There's a lot of self-proclaimed dogs, for sure.
I was a little intrigued by the question because, like, I listened to 3 minutes of Zoom calls with these guys and watched the B-roll, you know, for 5 seconds of highlights. I'm not good enough to know that that means they're dogs or not. Does dogs mean you're yelling at people a lot or beating you? I don't know. It sure seems like there's some confidence, but we'll find out if they're dogs once the pads go. You know,
yep.
So it's great to yell in the locker room at your teammate. Mm-hmm. If you can't play, your teammate's going, all right, dog.
You can't possibly know until you get him into the fourth quarter of a game and you need him to make a play and they do or they don't.
Right, you got to be a dog. You can't just look and act like one.
Fair enough. We'll see when they get into game action. Let's round things out with a little bit of a an hour later, do you think most fans think of the draft in terms of what can help the team win this year, while most GMs are thinking about what can help the team win more so the following year?
Well, I think most fans are thinking absolutely about what can help them win this year. The GM has to have an eye on that, but as I wrote in the text answer to this question, if the GM's not looking past the year that he's drafting in, he's doing a disservice to the team. You can't just draft for that year. So, yes, I think there's a huge disconnect between that. I've said more and more in recent years, there's a big disconnect what fans, because we build these guys up so much in April and then talk about them so much, there's this, oh, if they don't play well week one, they're terrible. The draft is really about the second and fifth year of those guys' career. I don't want to say anything you get from rookies is gravy, but in some cases, it's just hard to come in and contribute.
This is why you have a coach who coaches the team and a general manager who manages the roster, because somebody has to have that macro view and to be able to see 3 and 5 years down the road. We have seen it where coaches make short-term decisions to win now because their jobs are so year-to-year, and those aren't often the best long-term decisions. The best in recent memory here is the decision in 2017 to take Leonard Fournette instead of Patrick Mahomes. How might that have been different?
Right, because Leonard Fournette was a very good player during one playoff run.
Yep.
You sort of even knew then that it was short-term gain, long-term pain.
100%. And it's so easy to look back and have hindsight 2020, but that is such a glaring short-term solution for the Jaguars. They knew that they needed the running game to make Blake Bortles more effective, to play to the defense, which they had built and bolstered through free agency. And it was a good decision because it got them to the AFC title game. But that only lasted a year. If they'd taken Mahomes, who knows what might have been. There's a lot of might there because you don't know how things work out. But you have to have a big picture view with draft choices, because few and far between are those guys that come in and just light the place up as a rookie.
Time will tell on this. Hard to judge a draft right away. Of course, that's what we've been doing all day, but it'll take a while to see where these draft picks end up. Stay with us for a little bit longer. We talk about what's coming up, including rookie minicamp.
Yo, what's good?
What's up, bro?
What's good?
Welcome to Jacksonville, man.
Appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it. Excited to be there.
Can't wait for you to get down here, bro. It's gonna be awesome. You're gonna love the guys. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to have you, brother.
Yo, appreciate you.
How's the night been? Everything good?
Yeah, it's been going good so far. I'm excited. Family's excited. Everybody's here.
Man, I'm happy. I don't want to take too much of your time, but yeah, I'm sure you got some media stuff you mm-hmm. had to do and all that.
Yep. Appreciate you though, bro.
Yeah, bro. All right, man. I'll see you soon. Enjoy. I know you're probably gonna come down here tomorrow. Enjoy it, man. Soak it up. Congratulations. Tell your family I said what's up. Can't wait to meet you, bro.
Got you. Appreciate you for everything.
All right, brother.
Yep.
See you soon.
Trevor Lawrence talking to his new target.
How's it going? Well, I just made $20 million. Pretty good.
Pretty good day.
Pretty good day. Yeah. That was cool, though. That was really cool.
If anyone can relate, it's Trevor, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So we've got rookie minicamp. We were just discussing this. The end of next week, one of John's favorite times of the year.
Love it.
We get these rookies in here and run them around.
In 2015, Dante Fowler popped his ACL in the first 10 minutes of rookie minicamp.
That.
And so minicamp went from being actually a physical endeavor to more of a mental, right?
Which is what it should be. It's,
yeah.
These
guys have been training, but not
it's intro, it's here's where the bathroom is, so you know when you come back next week, you can get to it.
Right.
But
here's how
so that you're not running around and having no idea what's going on. You try to give rookies as many reps. They'll give them some reps this weekend. You do OTAs and you bring them in early during
training camp,
so that by the time they get like a fourth read on something, you're not walking around going, wow, look at the MEC.
But it is an important point, because these guys have been training for running 40-yard dashes and three cone drills and bench pressing. They haven't been doing football stuff, and so you put them on the field right away,
right,
and they're not acclimated to it. So it is much more about here's how we work, here's how we meet, here's where everything is in the building, so that you are more productive when training camp rolls around.
And strength guys and trainers have begged coaches for years to realize, don't work these guys when they first get here. For years, they didn't listen.
Yep.
Finally, over the last couple of years with some injuries like that, most teams are doing it this way, which is basically, This is an introductory orientation, if you will, more than just football.
Yeah.
We won't see anything crazy from them in minicamp, but is there any player in particular you're looking forward to seeing in person?
You look for athleticism, right? So, I mean, it'll be cool to see Mason Smith, because I'm sure you'll look at him and say, well, that's what I thought it was.
Well, Miles Cole, the kid from Texas Tech, who's a project in the seventh round, but talking to some of these guys, these coaches yesterday, apparently Ryan Nielsen was banging the table to get Miles Cole, thought so much of his traits.
Well, and the big thing you don't want is there's, what, 8-9 draftees. As a GM or a scout, you don't want to be walking off the field that mini camp going, you know, which occasionally happens.
It's happened here in the past.
So
who's that guy?
That's the big thing to get through that weekend. They all want to get back to their office and go, all right, okay, we're all right there. These guys can at least line up. So because it doesn't happen as often as it used to, but occasionally it happens.
All right, that's what we got. Minicamp headed next week. We'll get all these rookies in the building. We appreciate you joining us. We'll see you next week on Jags AM.